I'm humbled to have somebody like Paul speak to us. And so I hope we'll open our hearts and open our ears to what the Lord would have to say to us through a man who has lived out his faith like few people we know have lived it out. So will you give a resounding and very, very warm welcome to Mr. Paul I.
Thank you.
One thing I forgot to mention is at the end, if there is time, we're going to have some Q&A. So I may dominate with all my questions. I don't know. So, but no, I'm just kidding. I may. I don't know. So if you'd like to text a question to Josh through the course of the evening, his number is on your handout. And as time allows, we will do that. If time doesn't allow, I'm not going to cut Paul short. I think he's earned his time. So, but if we do have time, we'll spend time in Q&A. God bless you, Paul.
Thank you. Well, good morning, Vietnam. Well, the lady sit behind me asked me, what the story of your shirt? You want to know the story of this shirt? Well, Young Gi Cho, the pastor of a church of 1 million people, he bought this coat and he gave it to my mentor, Dr. John Hurston, in Pensacola, Florida. Last year before he go to be with the Lord, he called me, come down, land over me. And he showed me all the suit he had. He said, this Dr. Cho bought for me in my 30 year, mentor him. And I'm going to be with the father very soon. So I wrap all of my suit in laundry. It's all clean. And I lay hand over that prayer over and give it to you. So this one among the other suit and shirt that I'm wearing with me tonight. And I'm glad that I can wear it here in America because 2 weeks ago, Ruth and I, we were in Malaysia. It was 110. So when we come back here, it's very cold. So I enjoy to wear this shirt in the cold. So this is the story of my shirt. Well, you know, I was born in a very strong Buddhist family. My grandfather was a Chinese medical doctor. He ran away from China, went to Vietnam, and practiced as a medical doctor. And he became very, very rich as a medical doctor. But the more he became rich, the more political people tried to make money out of him. So he sent my father into politics to protect him. But after many years in politics, my father was so tired as a mayor of city. And he decided that if he going to have a son, he will never send his son to politics. So when I was born, they named my name Tan Din Ai. That means stop loving the world. And they sent me to Buddhist temple and offered me to Buddha. And I was trained to be a Buddhist monk. So that makes sure I'm not going to love the world. So I was in Buddhist temple for 9 years and later on become a very young monk. I have a lot of privilege. But the more I study about Buddha teaching, the more I found out hopeless. Have any one of you have ever studied about Buddha doctrine before? What wonderful teaching. Only one problem. Nobody can do it. So I quit and I try to find something else better. I end up with witchcraft. And after 5 years, I become a witchcraft doctor with 3,366 gods. So many of you will wonder how can I remember all their names. But that's the way I have to, because if I not remember all their names, I cannot be a wish master. So become a very young wish doctor. And in a little town, my grandfather as a Chinese, he controlled all economics. My father as a mayor, he controlled in politics. But I was a witch doctor, so in spirit, I control both of them and have money more than both of them combined together. So I really enjoy my life. But January 1970, there were a group of missionaries, Dr. John Hurston, come from Pensacola, Florida, together with Yonggi Cho from Korea and a couple of Filipinos from Philippines. They went to Vietnam. First, they come to reach out to the military, you know, 41 years ago, Vietnam. During that war, there were a lot of American GI been there. And any one of you have your beloved one were Vietnam veteran, been to Vietnam? Okay. You guys can see me at the table. I will have a gift for you that you have beloved one were Vietnam veteran. There is something that made by hand by the believer in Vietnam. People of the tribal, they grow cotton, everything by hand. All the color that they get from different root of the different tree in the jungle, they dye, they come a different color. So they made something that's for the veterans. So you can stop by my table and tell me that your beloved one a veteran, so I can give you one. So to me, I really honor though the veteran. In my book, I honor though the Vietnam veteran because they went to Vietnam with M16 rifle. And the open door for missionary came to Vietnam with John 3:16 Bible. I met a lot of different from M16 to John 3:16. So why I honor them. So I call the Vietnam veteran a foreigner missionary because of they have been to Vietnam. They open door for missionary come to Vietnam. So after 3 nights of that Christian crusade, my whole town was shaken. So some of my students came to me and said, "Master, you have to come and stop the foreigner missionary in our town. Otherwise, you're going to lose your job." I said, "What's going on?" He said, "Sir, every night our people left us and went to join with this Christian group. So you better go shut them down." I said, "Okay, I will check it out." So next evening I went, and you know, of course, I was trained 9 years in Buddhist and 5 years in witchcraft. So I'm expected, you know, though the guy who going to move their hands just like voodoo and witch doctor there all the time. But when I went to the crusade, I was disappointed because this the guy don't really know how to perform a religious activity at all. All they did was singing, clap their hands, jump up and down, shouting, they go noisy. And to Vietnamese, that's crazy. That's not religion. Religion in Vietnamese perspective, you have to be quiet so you can meditate with all other gods. And you know, unfortunately, many churches in Asia were affected by that kind of perspective. So when you walk into that church, you can feel the choir. You can even hear mosquito fly among the mist, you know. But this group, they're very noisy. So after all the noisy, they open the Bible and they read the story of Jesus. And they say, "Friend, listen, we have not come all the way from the United States, from Korea and Philippines to bring to you Vietnamese another religion. You know what? All religions are good. But religion will make people religious. But we want to bring to you Jesus Christ because Christ will make you become righteousness. All religions are good, but religion will give people burden after burden. But Jesus Christ, when he came, he said, 'Come unto me, all are labor and heavy burden, then I will give you rest.' So if you have any burden in your life, Jesus, come, that's for you, to take care of all of your burdens." So in 5 minutes, at altar call, I saw a long line of people come in front and line up and brought all their burden to Jesus Christ. And I recognized many among them were my followers, So I was happy. And after they pray over them, they sing another song. And then they open Bible and they read another story in Book of Acts. That's the story about Saul. He on the way to Damascus to persecute the church and got shot. And he was knocked out of his horse and was blind. And then Jesus showed up and asked him, Saul, Saul, why you persecuted me? He said, who are you? I'm persecuted. He said, I'm Jesus, but you are persecuted. But now, stand up on your feet, because I appear to you to make you as a witness of me. I will send you to your own people and to people around the world to bring them out of darkness into light, out of Satan into God. He said, friend, listen. Become a Christian, it not mean you leave your religion and come to join another religion. Become a Christian, it not mean you leave this building and come to join another building. But become a Christian, that mean you open your heart and let Jesus Christ come into your heart and transform your life from darkness into light, from Satan unto God. And God, we're going to give you a story to tell as a witness of Him. So tonight, maybe you're here with many different problems. Some of you might have problems with your spouse, with your parent, with your children, with your job, with your business. It doesn't matter. Jesus Christ is greater than all of your problems. Just come, and He will meet all of your needs. I saw another lie come up. And this lie, twice longer than the first lie. And among them, I recognized many of my followers. And I was happy. So I thought myself, oh my goodness. Look like my people left me and went to join with Christian group. So, they pray for them again, and after that, they sing another couple of songs. And they made another announcement. Who among you have been here in past few nights? If you have any problem, that you came to us and we pray for you. If God answer our prayer, we love for you to come and share your testimony. My goodness, I am telling you, this lie up and share the testimony is longer than first two lies combined together. And when they start sharing their testimony, I thought myself, my goodness, maybe American, they put a U.S. dollar together with all Korea money and Filipino money to hire my own people to advertise for their religion. So if I'm not going to stop them sooner or later, I'm going to lose my job. So I start praying with my gods. So that very first night, I pray upon 1,000 gods. But by the end of service, I realized none of my God show up. So I went home and I got really frustrated. And I decided I'm not going to eat next day, but I will fast and pray with 3,366 gods. Next evening, I come back. And that night, I prayed 2,000 gods. But by the time the church ended, in spirit, I realized none of my God show up and do the job they're supposed to do. So I wonder, where are you? All my life, I served you 3,366 gods. And now, the time of my need, none of you show up. If you're on vacation or you sleep, I'm going to wake you up. So that night, I did not go to sleep. I spent whole night and pray with the 3,366 gods. And expect they will join me next evening to shut down the church. So they just stuck 7 and 5 o'clock, I already in the parking lot. And it's kind of funny, you know. After become a Christian and become pastor many years, I found, my God, you know what? Devil, they go to church much more early than the Christian. They just stuck 7, devil show up at their parking lot at 5 o'clock. And the believer in the church show up at 7:30, 7:45. So when I was in the parking lot, I parked my moped and I aside 20 guards, do nothing. We stay in the parking lot taking care of my moped so no one get away from me. On the way, walk into the church, I saw a little generator. So I stopped by and I lay hand and I pray and command 20 guards mess up this generator so they won't have electric tonight for their church. And then as I walk into the church, I went, they don't have a very tall platform like this. So I walked the platform and I saw they have some equipment, not expensive like you have today. You know, 40 years ago, they have one keyboard, but not this type of keyboard. The keyboard big. And they have to work both feet very hard to have the air to play, you know. They have a guitar, but no, not like electric like this. They have one microphone, not this one. Big microphone. And you have to push and talk and release it like a military radio, you know. But then I went to the platform and lay hand over and pray, and I command 20 guards mess up all their equipment so they cannot worship their God. You know why devil do that? I don't know. But later on when I read Bible, I found out. Bible says God have it present among the worship of his children. And if God present, get what? Liberation, deliverance, salvation will take place. That's why devil don't want to see the Christian worship. So after I pray all this stuff, and I went in a corner in the back, and I start praying. I said, all my life, I serve you 3,266 gods. Tonight, only 60 of you on duty to take care for my moped, for the generator, and for church equipment. So your 3,306 God, you need to show up and shut down the church event before I'm going to lose my time. So I keep praying, praying. Over 2.5 hours, all the church keep going on. People get saved, sigh, wonder, miracle. I'm really frustrated. I don't know what the next step I need to do to shut down the church. And suddenly I heard they have another announcement. Yeah. You know, in Pentecost church, they have a lot of announcements. So, I'm telling you the truth because I'm 41 years traveling around the world. I'm telling you, Pentecost church, they have more announcements than any other kind of church. Anyway, they said, well, if any one of you been here in the past few nights, if you heard the word of the law, you saw sign, wonder, and miracle, you heard wonderful testimony, but if in your mind you have any question that prevent you from giving your heart to Jesus, we'd love to sit down with you to find out the answer. And I said, my goodness, that's a big mistake. You know, I thought they made a big mistake when they made that announcement. So I quickly ran all the way from the back corner to the front, introduced myself, who I was, what I'm doing right now. I've been here for past 3 nights. I saw everything. But yes, I have a lot of questions. And this is the deal. If you can answer all of my questions, I will quit all my gods and come to joy with you. But if you cannot answer all my questions, you have to pack and leave my town and leave my people alone. And I thought I had the best deal. So he says, sir, I don't know if I can answer all of your questions, but I will have my God through his word in the Bible and answer your question. Anyone of you have Bible, show your, if you have Bible, show your Bible. I want to see your Bible. Yeah, many of you have Bible, but you have very small Bible. The Bible that missionary carried 41 years ago is this thick. It's almost a foot. Less than a foot, but this must be. I don't know why 40 years ago missionary that carry big Bible like that. You know, I thought maybe they are holy men, you know, carry Bible. And later on, I asked, are you try to be a holy man, or you want to scare the devil in Vietnam by your big Bible? But you know what? Even I look at the Bible, this thick Bible. And not, it's only English. It's not Greek, not Hebrew there, only English. an old version, old King James Version. So when I look at the Bible, I'm laughing. I said, how can this book can answer all my questions? For 9 years, I was in Buddha temple. I read 3 baskets of Buddha scripture. And each basket of Buddha scripture is more than a foot. One basket of Buddha scripture is like this. And 3 baskets, this, 3 feet. It's over half my head. And I never found the truth. So how can this book, less than a foot, can answer all my questions? But I was amazed. For over 2.5 hours, all my tough questions were answered in the book called Holy Bible. And this book led me to a place to realize that greater He is living God than there were 3,366 gods. So I come to a point that recognizes God they are serving is greater than all my God. So I lost the battle. I neither accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I lost the battle, but I'm glad I lost, and now I won in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So stand up from the pulpit. I was so excited. So I quickly ran to the parking lot so I can drive home and tell the story. But by the time I reached the parking lot, I found a miracle. You know what kind of miracle? It wasn't God miracle. It was devil miracle. How many of you know that devil can perform miracle? Don't be fooled. Lucifer, when he was kicked out of heaven, he copied everything he saw from heaven. Devil can perform miracle, but you need to know that all devil miracle bring people from life to death. But Jesus Christ, the only one, come to this world to perform miracle to bring people from death to life and give you life even more abundance. So when I reached the parking lot, I walked around to look for my moped. For 10 minutes walk around, I couldn't find my moped. Then I understood why the 3,366 gods, none of them show up and shut down the cruise ship, because they all together disappear with my moped. So later on I found this devil come to do nothing but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus come to give you life and life even more abundance. So from that moment on, I learned a lesson. Whenever I do any crusade in Vietnam, I always remind my audience, if any one of you come by your bicycle or your motorbike, if you have your God taking care of them, quickly go back and renounce this. Otherwise, tonight when you give your heart to Jesus, they will turn away from you. So from that night, I learned a lesson. And now, instead of about 20 minutes to drive me home, it took me over 1 hour to walk home. So devil had enough time to attack me, try to bring me back. By the time I walked into my house, I was greeted by my grandfather. That old Chinese man still awake and waiting for me. As I walked into the door, I was shocked. It was late at night. My whole family still awake and waiting for me. And he looked at me and said, oh, grandson, I'm glad you're home. But you know what? The news already spread out the whole town. Everybody wonder, what are you doing tonight? Were you trying to make some fun with the missionary? Or are you serious about Jesus Christ? I was really excited. I said, Grandpa, I'm serious about Jesus Christ. He said, what? For years, I invest into your life. Become a Buddhist monk. You're not satisfied with Buddha, you quicks. Become a witch doctor with over 3,000 gods. Not satisfy you, you quick again. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with Buddha? I say, Grandpa, there is nothing wrong with Buddha. I still respect Buddha highly. But I have only one problem with Buddha. What the problem? I said, Grandpa, you know, Buddha, he was a guy. Buddha was wise. Buddha was nice. But then Buddha dies. That's it. So he looked at me and said, what about Christ? I said, Grandpa, Christ, he was a guy. He was wise. He was nice. He would die. But then he's alive and alive. But what difference? Hallelujah. So my grandfather was upset. He says, shut up your mouth. Don't try to preach to me. Go to your bed, rest well, think carefully. Tomorrow morning before the breakfast, you need to inform me. If you're going to tell me, oh, you just made fun with the missionary, everything be okay. But if you share it about Jesus Christ, you have to leave this family without any inheritance. And then firstborn child, I'm supposed to be inheritance. So I went to my bed, but I was not able to sleep at all. You know, over an hour ago, I gave my all to Jesus. I lost my moped, and I'm now about to leave to lose everything. So I cannot sleep at all. So I just turned back and forth, and I said, oh, Jesus, I'm sorry. I don't know how to pray to you, but, you know, I really want to know if you're true God. You need to help me. I don't know what to do. So suddenly the Holy Spirit showed up in my bedroom, and then he made me sing a song that I heard in the crusade. The song was, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. There no one with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. So I keep singing that song until I went to sleep just like a baby. Next morning when I was so asleep, my grandfather woke me up. He said, wake up, wake up. So I wake up but not really awake. So he looked at me and said, what's your decision? So I look at him and he yelled louder. What is your decision? I'm really awake now. And I look at his face getting red. I'm scared because my father always trained me. He said, son, if you live with this old Chinese man, you need to be aware that whenever he getting mad, you can easily recognize by his face getting red. And if you see his neck start moving up and down quickly, don't quickly to respond to him. You have to make a long circle to calm him down before you reach to the point. Otherwise, you'll be trouble. So I was trained that way, you know, to live with him. But this morning when, you know, he keeps shouting, yelling, and I really scared. And he said, what's your decision? Suddenly I saw he faking red and his neck moving quickly, fast. You know. So I don't know how to start before I can make the circle longer. What's your decision? Suddenly I opened my mouth and said the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. He was so mad. That he very sharp guy, a doctor, very sharp. He's like, no turning back. No turning back. It's time for you to leave this family without any inheritance. And don't turn in back unless you reveal your Jesus. So now after one night, I lost everything. And I really worry. I say, oh, Jesus. The whole town will honor to have me either a Buddhist monk or a witch doctor, but not a Christian. To them, become a Christian, that means I rebel to my ancestor and I betray all their gods. So no one want to have me. So I really worry. I don't know where to go to stay, what I'm going to do. So I say, Jesus, you have to help me. I don't know where I'm going to stay, what I'm going to do. Suddenly another song came. Many things about tomorrow. I don't seem to understand. But I know who holds tomorrow. And I know he holds my hand. So as I sing the song, the door will knock. My grandfather opened the door. He showed up a witch doctor. He got upset and he shouted on that witch doctor. What do you want from us? Do you know that? I already lost my grandson. So what do you want from us? He very much said, "Sir, doctor, the whole town and a rumor, brother, I is now quits all our gods and come to follow Jesus. So my master sent me here trying to bring him back." He said, "Good, good, good. Come in, bring him back." So the witch doctor walked in and then looked at me and said, "Brother, I, is that rumor true?" I said, "Yes." He said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "Well, now, let's sit down and talk." You know, so we sat down, we discussed, we went to debate, we went to argue, very bad argue, 4-hour conversation. Do you want to listen to all this conversation? You have 4 hours? No? Oh, okay. So it's bad news, we don't have 4 hours to give you all the conversation. But anyway, yeah, I have some of them in my book. Yeah. Yeah, my wife and I wrote the book last year. I celebrated my 40-year ministry and 30-year anniversary. So during Thanksgiving, we decided to write this book. So this book shares my story, how from a witch, from Buddhist monk, become a witch doctor, and why I'm still in Vietnam. When American troops pulled out of Vietnam, I was on the boat ready to get out of Vietnam. But then Holy Spirit show up and asked me, do you want to be a Jonah on the boat? So all my fellow, they kicked me out of the boat because they don't want to have Jonah with them on the boat. So I was kicked out and went back to the church. And then after that, I was arrested and put in jail, in prison, in forced labor camp, re-education camp, economic camp, 10.5 years, in 8 different camps from the south to the north. But out of that, 76,000 people get saved, and 320 church were planted. So I just share all of the story. And my wife have 2 chapters, and you girl like to read that. How a crazy teacher married to a crazy preacher. And it's a really fun story. And she was a crazy teacher. And when she married me, her parents not happy because they found that she married to a crazy preacher. And her dad said, "Oh, you be double crazy. You be in big trouble." And we double crazy. But we turned upside down the kingdom of darkness into kingdom of God. And in this book, I share how God, that we believe in the day of famine like this. You know, the day of famine like this, people really frustrate. But Bible say, in the day of famine, whoever believe in God will be enjoy the plentiful. And in the day of like this, you know, when you start 2011 with the frozen in the Europe, flood in Australia, you see the disaster keep coming up. If you keep your eye on the CNN every day, and you will see no end. Yeah. I told a lot of guys in the church, you know, every morning turn off CNN, before go back to CNN, and they say, "Well, if you keep your eye on CNN, you will see no end." You know? But if you keep your eye on the Word of God, you will see bright future. So that's what I share with people in this book. It's just come out on the Thanksgiving Day, and we bring in Malaysia. A lot of Chinese people get saved because many of Chinese people, they love fortune teller during the Chinese New Year. So some of our friends introduced, you know, we have a friend, the best fortune teller of Vietnam, will tell you your bright future. So people, they try to get the book and they read and they find out their future. Now they have real future. So this book really good track for non-believer. If you want to know about the power of witchcraft, about the fortune teller, this book will help you. And also, this book will give you a little bit, but the future I will have my second book I will go to write about, much better than yoga. A lot of ladies, you know, because stressful, they go to study yoga. And many of them ask me, "Pastor Paul, what do you think for Christian go to study yoga?" I say, for Christian, study yoga, that's the most foolish thing to do. Stupid. And I will go to tell you why, but of course not today. You'll find some in my book. Because if you're Christian, you have something much better than yoga, why you go to study yoga? You have something much better in this book. So anyway, that's 4-hour conversation with that witch doctor. So I come to a point, I say, "Listen, why you want to put your trust into the dead gods? None of them able to help themselves to get out from the grave. If they cannot help themselves to get out of the grave, how can they help you? But Jesus, the only one that arose from the dead, he helped himself to get out from the grave. And then he can help you in the time of trouble when you put your trust in him. So end up that 4.5 hour story, this witch doctor, instead of bringing me back to witchcraft, he kneel down and accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So next day, they sent another witch doctor with higher rank, trying to bring me back. They end up the lost second witch doctor. So they keep sending, every day they send a new witch doctor. By the end of the week, they lost 7 witch doctors with me. You know? Praise the Lord. So after 1 week of conversion, I become a cell group leader. You know? And have 7 members in my cell group. So if any one of you are cell group leader here, you complain, come to see me. I will tell you how tough I was when I was 7-day conversion and I was cell group of leader with 7 members in my cell group. They former 7 witch doctor. But that's how I grow up, and every day I have to run to the missionary to study so that I can share with them. So later on, after they lost another 7 witch doctor, they quickly don't want to send anymore because they don't want to lose all the witch doctor. But they call 1-day conference. They brought all witch doctor in my whole province come together, spend 1 day fast and pray and spare the curse over my life so that I will never go to have a son and I will have no more future. According to Vietnam culture, because over there we have no retirement, no Medicare, no insurance like you have in America. So when you get it all, your son is your future. No son, no future. This is where they curse me. But I thank God that I believe in this book. Jesus Christ came not only to save our soul, but he break all the curse. He set us free and delivered us from all of the curse. So I declare that, but it takes time, you know. After that, 1979, I was released from prison. 1980, I married, so we have children. First one, we have baby Ruth, and a year later, we have Mary. So my wife and I sit down and discuss how we skip, so we get a boy. After 2 years, skip, and we come out Esther. So we just got to skip for 3 years. It's come out Elizabeth. So which doctor said, no way for me to have a son. But I said, you guys say no way. But my Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So finally, when David, my son, was born, my whole family, 365 members, both my dad and my mom, they all come accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior. I have a great privilege to baptize my grandparent and my parent. That's all Chinese ones disowned me. He come to accept the Lord. I disciple him. I baptize him. And my father was mayor of city. He really again the gospel. But I not only baptize him, I disciple him. He came to my training. There were a time I was pastor church of 10,000 people. So I need a lot of deacons, so I don't elect a deacon in my church. I only train and appointed them. So I told my dad, I said, Dad, I'm glad that you come to my deacon training class, but you need to know deacon train to serve. And you need to know that the church is no politics like you. Because my dad was many years in politics. And the reason he don't want me to be in politics, because he said, son, the reason I don't want you in politics, because politics, before you get involved, you have to go to school to get a lie degree. You know, in Vietnam, you cannot be in politician without a lie degree. Because in lie school, they will teach you how to tell a lie legally, you know. So over there, they don't call law, they call lie. So, you know. And my father don't want me to get involved with lie. So that's why he don't want me in politics. But when he came to my training, I said, Dad, I'm glad that, you know what, after many years, you were in the lie degree, in lie business. Now you know the truth. And you need to know that deacon is trained to serve. So if you not serve this body, but you call any problem, you're no longer a deacon. You're a demon. You have to get out of my church. But my father is so faithful to serve the Lord until now. He's 81-year-old, very faithful to the Lord. So my family all get saved, and out of my family, I stuck 6 churches. And a pastor by my brother, my sister, my in-law, now they grow into 11 now. When come take over, I get on the boat. I'm about to get out of the country to be in the United States, but the Holy Spirit spoke to me, Paul, do you want to be a Jonah on the boat? So when my friend know that I was a Jonah on the boat, so they kicked me out of the boat. I leave the boat. I go back to the church. I was arrested, put in jail and prison, for just like you know. So first they put me in politic prison for brainwash. And after 6 months, that the politic prison turned into a church. So police were upset. And they sent me to a criminal prison. They put me in really tough prison. They put me in maximum security, life penalty, criminal prison. And I'm telling you, that's tough. You don't have that kind of prison in America. I travel and speak a lot of prison in America. I think the biggest I ever speak is in Ohio. I speak a big prison in Ohio. So after I speak in that prison, and then the director, she asked me, say, Reverend Paul, tell me what do you think about our prison here? I said, ma'am, you don't really have prison here in America. She looked at me and said, what do you mean we don't have prison? I said, you have free hotel. The prison in Vietnam totally different. Not like in America. So anyway, when I walk into the room for life sentence penalty, the room 6 meters by 8 meters, 6 by 18 by 24. It packed 88 young men for life. And though the men were put in prison for life, they have nothing else but only one underwear. But they have all kind of tattoo on their body. You know, they have a lion, a tiger, a cobra snake, scorpion, spider, just like a little zoo on their body, you know, all the tattoo. So as I walk in, they look at me and say, what are you doing? I say, I'm a pastor. A pastor? What kind of crime you involved? I say, no, I'm not involved in crime. Why are you here? You're wrong place, man. I say, no, I'm not wrong. I'm right place. God sent me here as an ambassador from Heavenly Kingdom to bring you hope where you're hopeless. What? There ain't no hope in this place. I said, yes, that's the reason why God sent me here, to bring you hope where you're hopeless. So they pull me over the wall, and they take off my clothes. And if you can show my photo on that, I'm about to speak to you in Book of Acts. But if you can dim the light a little bit, you might see. So. You cannot even see. So this projector almost died. This projector very old, I think older than my age. Anyway, so you can put the light back since it doesn't work. So, you know, when they take off my shirt, I have tattooed more than any one of them. And the witch doctor with 3,366 God, I have tattooed all over my body. So when they saw all my tattoos, they look at me and say, what are you really doing? I said, I'm really a pastor. A pastor? With this all tattoo on your body? You look like a gangster more than a pastor. I said, well, I'm even worse more than a gangster, but God grace, he can change gangster, become a pastor. By the way, you know, if you want to hear, I'm going to tell you some story. What story? Story how God changed many gangsters become pastor. How long will it take? I said, well, as long as you want to hear, you know, I have enough time, enough story to tell you. Make it short. We don't have much time to hear a long story here. You know, it's fine. It's okay. You know, if you don't have time, I could give you a short version. You know, I have long version and short version. So since you don't have time, I will give you a short version. But I feel sorry for you guys. You are so stupid. How come you end up your life in prison for life and you don't have time to hear a story bring you from death to life? That's stupid, you know. But anyway, I will give you a short version. So I said, okay, by the way, have you ever heard about Bùi Trọng Tín? I mentioned the name of a top gangster in Vietnam. And of course, everybody knows. Oh, yeah, I know him. He was my boss. I said, you know what? He's my disciple, faithful disciple. Are you kidding me? I said, no kidding. That's true. I said the story. I said, yeah, that's him. That's him. How he become your disciple? Do you want to know his story? I said, yeah, tell me the story. Long version or short version. Say, whatever version you want to know about the story of that guy. So I give long version, you know, full version of that guy, how I met him in the previous prison. I led him to the Lord, disciple him. God transformed his life. He totally changed. He was released from prison. He came to my Bible school. At the Bible school, I sent him out. In 1 month, he led 5 other gangsters to the Lord. And I start mentioning the name of different gangsters. And many of them, yeah, I know him. He was my boss. I said, you know what? He's now a student in my Bible school. Really? How come it happened? Do you want to know his story? You know? So story after story, 3 months later, that whole prison come to worship Jesus as the Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. So when police found this whole prison now become Christian, so they got really upset. Because when they put me in that prison, they expect though the criminal will beat me up and toss me and discourage me. But now they all become Christian. So they move me to another prison. They move me to a girl prostitute prison. Because they think though the politician cannot brainwash, though the gangster cannot beat me up, so now though the prostitute girl will go to knock me out. And it's really tough. They transfer me to this prison. I get out from the truck. My both legs were chained. My hands were cupped. I walk out. I never saw that many women. And when though the woman they saw me say, welcome to our girl kingdom, gentlemen. With all my courage, I said, lady, Jesus loves you. I said, forget it. We don't need Jesus here. We are so lonely here. We need you. That the first greet to me. My first 4 days were horrible. So I really pray. I said, Lord, you are the same yesterday, today, forever. If you were with me into the previous prison, I need you here more than anyone else. So I really pray. On the 5th day, when we're about to go to the farm to work, and then the lady who in charge said, okay, Mithai, you step aside. Today we're going to give you a new job. Since we know that you are a preacher, you are a servant of God, we're going to give you a job to serve. I said, okay, what do you want me to do? She said, from now on, every day you only clean our toilet. And clean toilet doesn't mean anything to you in America. Because in America, you don't have toilet. You have a very nice room you call gentleman room, lady room, and general people call restroom. But in Asia, nobody rests into the room. Yeah. Yeah, I went to Malaysia, you know. At the habit lunch, I asked, Pastor, I need to use the restroom. He said, oh, sorry, we don't have restroom here at the restaurant. He said, how come you have a big restaurant like this? You don't have a restroom. So I explained to him what I need. Oh, in Malaysia, we don't call restroom, we call washroom. So in Malaysia, Singapore, they call washroom. But when I went to Philippines, I asked them washroom, and they said, we don't have washroom. So I have to explain to them what I need. He said, oh, we call comfort room. But I promise you, it's not comfortable at all. But still better than the toilet in the prison in Vietnam. And the toilet is a barrel, big barrel. On the top, there is a hole about this side. Beside this hole, there are 2 bamboo poles. You step on and you have to balance yourself so you don't fall. And close your door very tight so you do your business. And they're quick as you can and get out. So nobody rests in that room. That's called toilet. So they don't call restroom. If they made a really nice restroom like you have here in America, big trouble. You know what? Though the girl will walk in and sit on the throne and do nothing but rest for the whole day. So my job every morning, after they use that toilet with its hands, I have to take out waste stuff just come out from their body. Put in a big can, you know, in the fuel. I don't know if you see the gas station, that big fuel container, about 50 gallons, 60 gallons. I put all the stuff come out from the body here, put water in, mix them up, and further like vegetable on the field. That's what my job. When I do my job, to the girls, ooh, dirty, ooh, dirty. I say, lady, listen, In the Bible, my Lord Jesus said, nothing outside is dirty. Only the thing in your mind, in your heart is dirty. When Jesus was on the earth, he looked at the Pharisee and he warned the Pharisee, be careful, you Pharisee. The tax collector and the prostitute will go to be heaven before you. The eyebrow opens. Are you kidding me, the pastor? The prostitute like earth go to heaven? I said, you know what? According to Vietnamese culture, if you become a prostitute, you end up your life. But Jesus looked different way. My Bible says, whoever in Christ become a new creation, all old things will pass away and all become new in Jesus Christ. And by the way, you know what? In the Bible, there a lady, her name Rahab, used to be a prostitute. We got changed her life. And then she bring liberation to the whole country. And now just, there were many prostitutes. They are now pastor, preacher, cell leader. I mentioned the name, some lady. Oh yeah, I know her. She was my boss. I said, you know what? She's now my disciple. Really? How come it happened? Do you want to know her story? So I told story how one of my pastor, lady pastor, were arrested, put in jail, met her, letter to the Lord, disciple her. Her life was changed. She was released from prison. She came to Bible school. At the Bible school, she went out. She led many other prostitutes to the Lord. So I mentioned the name of the people she led to the Lord. I said, oh, I know her. She was my boss. I said, she's now a student in my Bible school. Really? How come it happened? Do you want to know her story? You know? So story after story. Say, okay, Pastor Paul, why don't you wash your hand and tell me some more story? So story after story, later on, that whole prison would change. 6 months later, that all women come to worship Jesus, our Lord and Savior. So everywhere they send me, Jesus, the only one, changed their life and changed all the prison. So government made that prison become model prison and have over 10,000 prisoners. And many of them come to know the law. This is so dark, we cannot see anything. But I have a lot of gangster, now become pastor, come church leader. And last year we have a reunion in Cambodia. Many of them come to the law. But I wanted to let you know this. Jesus, that's who we believe. Bible says the same yesterday, today, forever. And as some of you study book of Acts, and I quote in the Acts chapter 3, verse 15, thus, we are called to be a witness of him. God will come into your life and transform your life and make you become a witness of him. Unfortunately, you know, in America, many people, they go from church to church, you know, people shop in church to see church. But when they go to church, they sit on the pew, do nothing, expect the pastor, maybe sit there for whole life. And they complain. And some of my friends told me, oh, I just lost some members. I said, why? He said, well, you know, I didn't see them for 3 weeks. I called. Said, oh, we are now go to another church. So we come to sit down and ask them why. He said, God bless us. Now we have a big SUV. And your parking lot so small for our SUV. So we have to find another church with bigger lot so we can park our SUV. So that's why they left the church. But you know what? Become a Christian, it not mean that you join a religion. Become a Christian, that means you let Jesus come into your life and he transform your life from darkness into light, from Satan into God. And he will make you as the witness of him. He give a story to tell. And whoever sent you, you have a story to tell. I just thank God, you know, I've traveled around the world to tell my story to many different nations, many different religions. In Malaysia, last month, I have a privilege to share my story with Muslim people. Just convert. And you need to know, in Malaysia, a Muslim convert, they cannot go to church. If the government know that Muslim convert into Christian, they will be hanged. If any church hosts them, the church will be shut down. But I met 85 of them. And then we have a great time of fellowship. And I found that God is moving among different religion around the world. I went to Kuwait. In 1 month, I preached 52 times. Just like a whole year. Underground. Literally underground. I went to Qatar for 3 weeks. I preached almost every day. The church grown everywhere. I want to let you know that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. Whatever you read the book of Acts, he's still alive today. They still do the same thing today. Well, I have a lot to say about them. I think Pete ready to ask me some questions. So I will pause here. You want to get more story? By the way, if you want to know more my story, you go to Facebook. Huh? I'm in the Facebook, okay? App 2, Faith, F-A-I-T-H. In my car, I call Faith Factor.
Yeah, actually, we're out of time, so there's no Q&A.
Okay. So. Anyway, I have my book, and if you go to the Facebook, you look the poor eye with this side. There are five different poor eyes there, but the right one, you have to look for this one, and that's the right one, so you know what I'm doing over there in Asia.
But let me just share one thing really fast. Over dinner, I asked Paul, I said, do you still see signs and wonders? He said, oh, yes, everywhere we go. So then we had a long conversation of why we don't see those as often in America. And to get ordained in the Vietnam church, you have to start a church in prison before you can be ordained. Because he said, if you're a pastor, you will go to prison. It's just a matter of time. And that's the world that Paul lived in. That's the world that God used him to see the gospel go viral. And it's because Jesus changed his lives. One thing that always strikes me when I hear him share is when he goes to a prison, he says, God sent me here. And what a powerful perspective of God using people in situations that we'd say, God, get me out of here. He says, no, God sent me to you. Paul, I was reading Philippians, and I have a verse that I think summarizes what your story does for me and hopefully for all of us. This is Paul, the apostle, in his chains. And he says, because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. And if I could summarize what my hope is that we, because of his chains, would be more courageous and more fearless in sharing God's word. What do we really have to fear? And if you're here tonight and you're not a follower of Jesus, Paul could go on literally for hours of lives he's seen changed by the power of Jesus. And I wish we had more time to share more stories. But can I encourage you, as Paul said, open your heart to Jesus and he will make you a new creation. Will you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, for anyone in here who may not know Jesus personally, I pray in this moment that they would open their hearts to Jesus, that they would turn from darkness into light.
Yes, Lord.
They would step from darkness and death into life and light.
Yes, Lord.
And that you would make them a new creation through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray right now in this moment that you would do that.
Amen.
If you're not a follower of Jesus, I just encourage you, open your heart to Jesus, and he will make you a new creation. And for those of us who have followed Jesus for a while, I pray, Lord, that you would give us a fresh passion to share the gospel,
yes,
a fresh courage and a fearlessness in sharing the life-changing message of Jesus, and a fresh power from the Holy Spirit to empower our witness, that we, like Peter and John in the book of Acts, would say, we must obey God and we must share this word. As lives that have been changed by Jesus, Lord, now we pray that you would use us to see other people's lives changed, that the gospel may go viral. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, may God bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and give you peace. Have a great week. God bless.
In the back there in my book, if you want peace, sign, it will be free. But if you want me to sign, I'll charge you one more cent for each book. Okay, God bless you.